Pastor, what are you going to talk about today? Okay, this is deep. Ready? I'm going to talk about Jesus today. Don't you talk about him every time? Yeah, I do talk about him every day, every time I speak. But specifically, I want to talk today about coming to Jesus. Somebody say, coming to Jesus. And there's two groups of people who need to come to Jesus. The first group is those people who need to come to Jesus and you're not in his family. You're not in his family. Now, it gets a little confusing because you'll hear people say, well, God loves everyone. Or you'll hear even people say, everyone, we're all children of God. No. Don't say amen to that, because that's not true. We're not all children of God. We're all creations of God. We have all been created by God. But we're not all in God's family. Now, God wants us all in his family. God loves us all. How many know God loves everyone? But in order to be in the family of God, you've got to be born again. That's what Jesus says. You want to be in the family of God? You need to be born again. Born, he says it, born of the Spirit, Jesus says. So, who should, you know what, and if you're taking notes, my, you know what, sermon title is, you know what, come to Jesus and begin to live. There's a quality of life that you will experience when you come to Jesus that is higher than any kind of other experience that you've ever experienced before. So I want you to come to Jesus and live. So who should come to Jesus? Well, if you're not in God's family, come to Jesus. If you're not in God's family, come to Jesus. You say, yeah, just because you are loved by God does not mean you are in his family. How many know God loves everyone? How many know God loves everyone? Now listen, let me back up a little bit, because sometimes you can just talk about God like, and everybody knows he exists. And how many know there's some people, and they're not even sure that he exists. Maybe for some of you who are watching through the internet, or maybe even some of you who have come today, you're really not sure that Jesus exists. It's like, well, I'm not sure. Well, let me just say this. Let me testify and say God does exist. God is real. The best decision I ever made was when I accepted Jesus in my heart and I got born again. Best decision. Second best decision was when I married Tamara. But my first best decision was when I came into the family of God. And God is real. God is absolutely real. Here's what the Bible says. I want to point this out to you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain to the just and the unjust. How many know this one, when Jesus spoke this, most of everybody was farmers. And the sun meant a big deal, and so did the rain. The sun and the rain produced crops that were a blessing. The sun and the rain are examples of God blessing people. And this passage points out that God blesses everyone. God blesses the good people, and God blesses the evil people. Now, before you think that you're the good person, let me just point out to you know what? How many of you remember when you did a lot of crazy things? Raise your hand if you remember when you did a lot of crazy things. How many recognize you know what? How many recognize to some extent you still do a lot of crazy things? Come on, somebody. In other words, what I'm saying is, even though you might be in the family of God, even though you might be doing good or doing better than you were, how many recognize everyone still has issues that we're dealing with? I don't want to make sure that we're not condescending and say, oh, we're Christians, we're going to church, we're good, and you're evil because you don't. Wait a minute. And yet, the reality is, Jesus recognized there is those who've been justified, and there are those who've not been justified. There are people who are in the family of God, and there are people who are not in the family of God. And God says, let me tell you what I do. I love all of you. I love you whether you're in the family of God, or I love you whether you're not in the family of God. So this morning, this is what I saw. Can you imagine this? I'm I'm getting ready to drive away, and I look up at the sky, and this is what I see. Is that incredible? And that wasn't some big, you know, Nikon, you know, 4X 390. That's just my iPhone taking a picture of the sky in the church van before I leave. Is that incredible? Now, what is God saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, look, I care about everyone. Do you know everybody on my block, whether they were, what, no matter what they did the month before, the year before, the week before, everyone got to see that. Jesus painted that picture this morning for everyone on my block to see. You know why? Because he loves all of you. He loves all of us. But make no mistake, just because he loves you doesn't mean you're in the family of God. In order to get in, you say, well, what do I do to get in the family of God? You have to come to Jesus. You have to come to Jesus, and you have to ask Jesus to come in your heart. Then he comes in your heart, and he starts changing you from the inside out. Is that beautiful? What is God doing here? He's painting a picture for us. You think this happened, you know what, coincidentally? This is absolutely did not happen coincidentally. Do you know this? And you can research it out. The probability, the chance of human beings living on the earth is so unbelievably impossible. The chances for the water, the air, the gravity, all this to be perfect for us to be here breathing is very, very unlikely. That is a huge understatement. It is incredibly unlikely. And scientists say that man will only be able to stay on this earth for a short sliver of time. And God says, as he's painting this picture, as he's drawing this for me today, how many know I got to see that today? And now we're all getting to see it. And this picture is nothing compared to what I got to see this morning. Can I show you this? Look at this. Oh, Drew, you did that special, like that special color enhancement, you know what I mean, where you magnified. I didn't. That was taken at my house with my iPhone. Can you believe that? We were in the kitchen. And Tamara said, did you look at the sky? And I looked over, and not this is the, whatever, this is the, it's facing the west to the south. On the opposite end, the sky was completely lit up, just like this was. It was glowing. And we had, in our front living room, the blinds that were drawn, you could see it, and our whole living room was glowing. Tamara said, did you look at the sky? And I looked up, and I was like, unbelievable. And this whole sky was all just completely lit up. And then I turned around, and I saw this. Now, what do you think that is? You think that's coincidence? You think that's just, you know what, Mother Nature? Is that what you, no, let me tell you what. That is not Mother Nature. You know what, in the course of time, just, no, that's God. Yeah. And you know what the Bible says? Here's what the Bible says. That everyone, they sit before God, I didn't even know, you know, my college professor said you weren't real, and my aunt said you weren't real, and I believed her, and it's not my fault. Listen, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says everyone will have no excuse. Can I tell you why everyone will have no excuse? The Bible says this is why everyone will have no excuse. Because the Bible says even if you didn't know very much, you can look up at the sky, and you can see how real God is. Can I tell you what? You said, Pastor, what are you preaching on? I'm preaching on everyone should come to Jesus. Who should come to Jesus? If you haven't met, if you don't know Jesus, if you have kept God from far from you, if you have said, no, I don't believe God. I'm just, you know, church is like for, you know what, weird, you know what, funky people, and I don't believe in that. You know what? Hello? No. Let me tell you what. God is speaking to you. You know, have you had somebody who started to work with you? You think it's coincidence they're working with you? And they're nice and kind? and gentle. And they're like, man, that's what I did to Tamara. You know what? She says, oh, like, you know, she thought I was phony. Amen? But watch this. Over a period of time, you know, how many know somebody who's phony? You know, yeah, I didn't say are you sitting next to them. I said, how many? Okay. How many know somebody who's phony? Okay, so you know somebody. And why do you know they're phony? Because, you know what, you see their phoniness. In a course of time, you know what? I mean, I'd come in on Monday, I'd be happy. I'd come in on Wednesday, I'd be happy. I'd come in Thursday, I'd be happy. Why are you so happy? Because God has made me happy, amen? My life isn't perfect. I got all kinds of stuff going on, but I'm just happy to be in the family of God, amen? God loves me. My life might not be perfect, but you know what? God is good, and he shows me as I'm faithful to him, he continues to bless me, and I'm optimistic. I got every reason to be optimistic. God is on my side, and so I'd go into Albertsons, and all her other employees should say, hey, how are you doing today? And they'd say, oh, same old. You know how come you know what they say? Because they say the same thing to you. You know what? But you know what? I'd never say that. Amen? Because I didn't think it was the same old stuff. I always thought, you know what? There's something good going on. You know what? God is on my side. And God is for me. He's not against me. I have no reason to complain about anything. Amen? And so she saw that attitude. Well, over a period of time, she saw that attitude didn't change. Why do you think that person came around you? What's happening? God is trying to show you Jesus. And as imperfect as I was, Tamara was able to see Jesus in me. Amen. You know what? I know Pastor George goes to work and people see Jesus. Where do they see Jesus? They see Jesus inside Pastor George. Amen. They know nobody could be so nice. Nobody could be so sweet. Nobody could be so patient. But they know something, that is something supernatural. Tamara thought, nobody can be so happy. No, people can be so happy. What's going on? God is speaking to you, and he's saying to you, through the sky, through people at your work, through all kinds of things, it's not coincidence. It's not coincidence that you're here today. It's not coincidence that I'm preaching this message. God is speaking to you, and he's saying, come to me. Stop avoiding me. Stop thinking I'm not real. I am real, and you know I'm real. And let me tell you what, and I can improve the quality of your life. I can change your life. I can make it good from the inside out, and all the bitterness and all the frustration and all the anger and all the and all the donkey. Who is that guy? All the Eeyore-ness in you. You know, God says, you know what? Listen, I can get that out of you. Amen. But you need to come to me. Amen. This pride that you say, no, I'm not even sure God's real. I'm not even sure. Listen, are you kidding me? You want to argue? Listen, you can argue all you want, but you aren't convincing me that God is not real. I see it every day. I experience him real every day. So what should you do? Come to Jesus. Jesus said it. He said, listen, let me tell you what. He told one guy, he said, let me tell you what. You must be born again. Everybody who is born again, they're born of water. Jesus said they first have to be born of water, and then they have to be born again in the Spirit. What's he talking about? Well, you know what he's talking about. When he's talking born of water, he's saying you got to be birthed. You got to come to this earth. You got to be birthed. When Shayla was little, I mean real, 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 real little, inside my wife little. Amen. How many know babies are inside women? Come on, can somebody say amen to this? And there was a baby inside a woman, and that was my wife. And we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know what? She is, she's pregnant. And, like, yeah, we knew that. Yeah, she's pregnant, and she's going to give birth in 3 weeks. Well, this was on a Friday, 3 weeks. Somebody say 3 weeks. 3 weeks. I was like, okay, 3 weeks, we're going to have a baby. Well, that was on a Friday, I think, Saturday, Sunday. That next Monday morning, you know what? My wife wakes me up at 4:30 in the morning, and she says, my water broke. Okay. How many know sometimes you're not very smart at 4:30 in the morning? Come on, can somebody relate to this? And here's what I told her. I said, you know what? I said, no, honey, we're not having the dog. We went to the doctor Friday. We're not having that baby in 3 weeks. What did I want to do? I wanted to turn over and go back to sleep. You know what I mean? This, I'm correcting my wife. Can you imagine this? Honey, we're going to have this baby in 3 weeks. You know, the doctor said. How many know God said we're having it today? Amen. Here's what I'm saying. That what Jesus is saying is you have to be born of water. That's what he's talking about. And he tells Nicodemus, he says, but you've got to be born of the Spirit. Not just of the water, of the Spirit. What does that mean? He says you have to be born again. Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about? Get born again. How can you go back into your mom's womb? Jesus, that's weird. You know, what are you talking about? Jesus corrects him and says, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about you need to be born of the Spirit. How do you get born in the Spirit? Here's what you do. You humble out. You say, God is real. Jesus is the Son of God, and I need to accept him in my heart. I need to repent. I need to change my thinking. My thinking is, I know everything. I got my life all planned. I'm going to figure it all out myself. To then say, no, God is going to be the one who decides for me. I give him my decision-making ability. Come inside my heart. Change me from the inside out. Some people are waiting to get righteous to come to Jesus. Don't wait to get righteous because you'll wait forever. Amen. You can't get, if you could get righteous, how many ever did something wrong? You know, you're like, you know what? You know, like you smoke and you drink and you're like, and there's other sins I'll talk about in a minute. So, you know, I'm just picking one. And you're like, you know, you get all, you know, crazy. You don't even know what happened. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I hope I didn't do anything stupid last night. Why are you acting like you don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, anyway, moving on. You know what? And you think, I'm never going to do that again. And you do it again. You don't have to raise your hand. God says, you know what? Here's the issue. The issue is you're trying to fix you. And you can't fix you. Let me in your heart and let me fix you from the inside out. Who needs to come to Jesus? If you're not in the family of God, come to Jesus today. And in a couple of moments, I'm gonna say a prayer and we're just going to ask Jesus to come inside your heart. And can I tell you what? He will. He will. He will. So who should come to Jesus? If you're not in the family of God, come to Jesus. Don't assume because you saw this that you're in the family of God. No, he loves everyone. He showed this to everyone this morning. But in order to come to Jesus, you've got to accept him in your heart, number one. Number two, who else should come to Jesus? Who else should come to Jesus? Well, you know what? If you're not in the family of God, you ought to come to Jesus. If you are in God's family, you ought to come to Jesus. Let me let that soak in for a little bit. If you are in the family of God, you need to come to Jesus. See, there's all kinds of people in the Bible, and they had a relationship with Jesus, but they still came to Jesus. Remember Mary and Martha, their brother was Lazarus. And Lazarus passed away. Well, let me take it from here. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. That's Lazarus. He'd been for 4 days. They already buried him. It's like, he's too late. When he gets there, it's like, it's too late. That's what Mary thought, kind of. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. They're comforting her because her brother died. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, here's my point, went to meet him. What does she do? She goes to Jesus. Why does she go to Jesus? Listen to me. Those of you who are in the family of God, listen to me very carefully. You need to go to Jesus because he's got the answer to your problem. See, we think we just come to, I got born again. I'm born again. No, listen to me. Some of you have problems and you think there's no way out. And God is saying, no. You need to come to Jesus because he has the answer. Watch this lady. She's so interesting. You know what? Look what she says to Jesus. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know what she thinks? She thinks the same thing that we think sometimes. We think God could do this, but he can't do that. God could help me in this situation, but this is too difficult. This is too hard. This is beyond. This is impossible. Can I tell you what? God moves beyond impossible. Amen. God doesn't know impossible. With God, all things are possible. In other words, the reciprocal, there's nothing that is impossible. That's what the Bible even says. With God, all things are possible. He tells Mary, I showed it to you last week, there's nothing impossible with God. So she sees God. Well, I know you could have healed him, but you're too late. It's beyond, it's hopeless. God says, no, that's not true. Look what she says. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Now let's stop there. Inside of her, even though she doubts, there's part of her who believes. Listen to me. Look at the text. There's part of her that thinks it's still not too late. Amen? Listen, some of you are facing difficult situations, and there's part of you that thinks God can do it. But there's also another part of you that thinks it'll never, my marriage will never get better. The doctor has told me I have to learn to live with this. I have to learn to deal with the pain. She recognizes, even though her brother's dead, even though she's going to argue with Jesus later on, she recognizes that it's not too late. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, listen to this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though they might die, he shall live. Listen to me. Jesus is saying, Martha, this is not impossible. It's not too late. Just come to me and believe that I can do this. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe. You are the Christ, Son of God, who is coming to the world. How many know we know how to say the religious right things? Come on, somebody. How many know we know how to? We're not talking about that. We're talking about believing for the supernatural. We're talking about believing for that which is impossible. And God says, that's what I want you to do. That's what he tells her, and that's what he's saying to us. I want you to come to me, and not just come to me, but come to me with an attitude that I can fix things. Here, that's another sermon title. Jesus can fix it. Jesus can fix it. She knows what's right to say. And when Jesus had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling you. As soon as she heard, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The other sister goes out to meet Jesus. They both understand to some extent Jesus is the answer. What happens? Well, I don't know if you know the story. I'll tell you the story. They come to the tomb. Jesus says, roll away the stone. The ladies are like, roll away the stone? He's dead. You roll away the stone, that is a wall of protection. You roll away that stone, and it's going to stink around here because he's been dead 4 days. How many know Jesus is not concerned with the stink? You know why he's not concerned with the stink? Because he is the resurrection. I said he is the resurrection. See, how do we come to Jesus? Do we come and just, oh God, look, just cry, because all we can do is cry. Listen, Jesus cried, but he did more than cried. And he talked to these people, and he told them, you know what, guys? You need to help me make this happen. You need to come with an expectancy. What do you think he's asking those guys to roll away the stone for? He's asking them to roll away. When those guys rolled away their stone, they're starting to believe, oh my goodness, Jesus is going to do something supernatural here. What's the answer to your problem? The answer to your problem, here's the answer to your problem. You ready? This is deep. The answer to the problem is Jesus. And the deeper answer to your problem is start believing that the answer to your problem is Jesus. See, start believing that with God all things are possible. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came behind and touched the hem of his garment. Look at this. This is so awesome. For she said to herself, if only I might touch his garment, I will be made well. You know what? She's got an issue of blood. She's unclean. She has no business being with Jesus. She could have been stoned if they would have found out she had an issue, because this is absolutely unacceptable for the Jewish religious people who are around there, her. But she doesn't care about that. She comes to Jesus, and not only does she come to Jesus, but she comes to Jesus with an attitude of, when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. Now, what does Jesus say? Jesus says to her, you know what? Jesus says to her, look what he says. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well that very hour. You know what Jesus says? Be happy. You know what the Bible says? We do this the same thing. The Bible says that this woman had this issue for 12 years. She went here, tried to fix it, went there, tried to fix it, went to this doctor, tried to fix it, went to that doctor, went to this person over here, went all over. She's trying to heal it. She's trying to fix it, and we do the same thing. Listen, I'm not talking about people that are not in the family of God. I'm talking about people that are in God's family. And here's what we do. We go here, we go there, we try to fix it, we try to find all this stuff, we read books, and we do all this stuff. You know what we need to do here? It's deep, right? Here's what we need to do. We need to come to Jesus. Because Jesus has the answer. And when, watch this, and when she comes to Jesus, Jesus doesn't condemn her. Jesus doesn't rip on her. Jesus doesn't say, why didn't you come to me first? He doesn't do any of that. Let me tell you about God. God isn't condemning to people who finally wake up and come to him. That's why he says, you know, blessed is the man who keeps on falling, keeps on getting up, keeps on getting up, keeps on getting up. That man is blessed. He's not cursed. He's blessed. Because eventually that guy comes to himself and recognizes, oh my goodness, was the prodigal son cursed or blessed? He was blessed. Why? Because he came to himself. He came back to his father. The father blessed him the same way that God will bless you. But listen to me, Christian people, people that are saved, people that love Jesus. But do you think you're going to find the answer in somewhere else or here or there or some other place? God is saying to you today, stop it. Come to me because I have the answer. I am the answer. I am the resurrection. You want your brother resurrected? I'm here. Martha, Mary, stop thinking it's impossible. Stop putting a limit on it. Some of you have limits. You think, oh, God could get me out of debt. You know what? When I was $5,000 in debt, but he can't get me out of debt now that I'm $10,000. And $20,000, forget it. There's no way. You don't know, there's no way God could resurrect my marriage. You know what? I've done too many stupid things as a husband. You know what? Some of you think, you know what? Your spouse is, you know what? The problem is your spouse. I mean, no good. God can fix anything. Here's the power of God. God can even fix your spouse. Somebody say amen to this. Wow, God is a miracle working God, is he not? Here, I'll tell you one better. God can fix you. Oh, can I get more amens on that one? God can fix you. Amen. You know, those spouses who think your wife is a problem. Can I tell you what? I'm trying to be gracious. Can I tell you what? You're probably at least half the problem. I'm just saying. My point is this, that you know what? God doesn't condemn this lady. But can I tell you what? Can I point out the obvious? This lady would continue to not walk in her healing had she not come to Jesus. At some point, we've got to stop going to this person and that person and thinking that this person can get us out of this situation. Let me tell you who has the answer for your problem. Jesus. Jesus. He's got the answer to your problem. John chapter 6, verse 60. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Let me tell you what's going on here. Jesus said some hard things to the apostles. And when they heard this hard thing, they turned away. Can I tell you what? You can come to Jesus. But when you come to Jesus, guess what he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you what it's going to take to fix a situation in your life. And many people, when they hear the solution to the problem, they don't want to do the solution of the problem. That's why they're leery. Oh, we got real quiet here. That's why they're leery not to come to Jesus. How many know Jesus will tell you the answer? And sometimes, listen to me, somebody, sometimes the answer is a very hard thing. Somebody say a hard thing. And part of you doesn't want to do it. When God spoke to me and said, I was living in Newport Beach. I was from here to where some of you parked your cars. I could grab my surfboard and walk out just right to the parking lot and I'd already be at the seashore. That's how close I lived to the beach. Awesome, awesome place. You know what? Was so blessed. My work was Pico Pizza is? That's how far it was. From here to Pico Pizza, boom, my work was right there. I didn't work at Pico Pizza. So. But anyway, that's how close it was. It was a blessing. I loved to surf. You know what? I loved living at the beach. I loved the climate. I had it made in the shade, as they say. I had a beautiful girlfriend. You know what? Who I thought was committed to me. See, when I told her, you know what? Hey, honey, I'm gonna move back in with my mom because God has called me to go to this church and I'm going to have to get another job in the beautiful city of Baldwin Park. Okay, I'm not saying Baldwin Park isn't awesome. Some of the met great people lived in Baldwin Park. But how many know Baldwin Park is not Newport Beach? I didn't want to do that. You know what I mean? God had told me something hard. But listen, I'm going to preach on this next week. But you know what I recognize? I recognize God's ways are higher than my ways. I recognize God is perfect. 15 years later, Tamara and I, we were married for that at that point in a long time. We sat in bed and we thought of all the blessings. We had met Khan and we had met the Navarros and God had blessed us with housing and on and we at that time had met many of you and our life was rich. See, what do you do when God tells you something hard? You want to come to Jesus and then you want him to tell you, here, and you want him to not tell you how to fix it, or do you want him to tell you how to fix it? Do you want to know how to fix it? Well, then when he tells you how to fix it, will you have the integrity to do what he tells you to do? Because a lot of people, they don't want to know what God says because they know he's going to tell. They know he's going to say, forgive him, forgive her. You know what? You need to be more generous. Oh, people freak out on that. Amen? I'm telling you, people freak out on that. They're like, oh, Pastor, don't talk to me about giving, you know, because that's like wrong. Oh my goodness, what are you talking about? You know, pastor telling you to be generous, to give to the kingdom of God. You think that's wrong? No, that's craziness. But sometimes, you know what my friend, I didn't even know this, I knew that, I didn't know him personally, but I'm listening to him on the radio. He said, you know what your problem is, Drew? You're selfish. Thank God, you know what, that when I was 24 years old, a preacher told me that I was selfish. You know what he said? He said, here's your issue. You're just stingy. They use that word, stingy. I had to hear that. Who is he speaking to? He's talking to his congregation. But it was on the radio. He told it to me. I heard it. That message was for the congregation. But God meant it for a 24-year-old to change his life forever. Because I had to get out of that selfishness. That wasn't a bad, Pastor George, that wasn't a bad thing. That was one of the best days. Costa Mesa, in my little Carmagia, one of the best days of my life. Because God delivered me from my selfishness. And we don't want God to tell us anything. Like the rich young ruler, you know what I mean? He's been told a hard thing. Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes God is going to tell you a hard thing. How many know a hard thing can be a great thing? Amen? Amen? How many a hard thing can be a great thing? Amen? What do we need to do? We need to come to Jesus. We need to listen to what he says. And these men, you know what Jesus is telling them? Hey guys, let me tell you what. Guys, you know what he tells his apostles? The 12 apostles. Because he's got all these disciples. And the disciples are, after they hear the hard thing, the disciples are like, shine this. You know, Jesus is crazy. I'm out of here. And Jesus looks at the apostles and says, hey, guys, you want to go with them? See, you know what? We're so used to a gospel being preached that God will take anything we give him and he's happy with it. But that's not, listen, that's not what I read in these pages. I read that Jesus says, listen, I will give you everything. But let me tell you what, I expect everything in return from you. Amen? You want to leave? You want to go with those guys? You know what Peter says? Peter says, no, Jesus, you know what we've learned? We've been with you. Listen to me. Listen to the message that God has for you today. We've been with you. We understand that you are the only one who speaks the words of life. Hey, guys in the back, I don't know if you have this. I have this in your notes, but I have two versions of that 68th verse. Do you have both? Give me a big thumbs up if you have both. I couldn't see it. Was that a thumb? Oh, thumbs down. Okay. All right. Well, just let's go to the 28th verse. Let me just show you what he said. But Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's one version that I had. I don't have it for you, but I looked it up. And it's a better version because it gives more clarity what Peter really said. Peter really said, Jesus, you are the only one who has the words of life. You're the only one. Can I tell you what? You can keep on going to your girlfriend, you know what, and listen to her. Oh, yeah, you shouldn't break up with him. He's a good catch. You know what I mean? After all, he's got a good job. You can keep on listening to your friend. You can keep on listening to your neighbors who tell you, you know what, it's okay to do whatever they say. You can keep on listening to them. But can I tell you what? Jesus is the only one who's got the words that are going to set you free. Amen. Amen? And you can keep on giving him, you know what, just the scraps, just the leftovers. You know what? Well, if everything lines up, you know what I mean? If I'm not doing anything, then I'll serve God. If I have extra money, then I'll give. If I feel like forgiving, I'll forgive. You know what? You can do all that. You can do all that you want. But let me tell you what. Jesus might tell you some hard things. But he's going to tell you the very things that are going to cause you to have a quality of life that other people won't have. Can I tell you who had the quality of life? The 12 that stayed. All that left, they had to just deal with circumstances in life. Why? Because they left Jesus. Is this making sense anymore? See, we need to come to Jesus, and we need to come to him recognizing this.
Jesus says, you know what? I am the bread of life. I am the one. I am the one that will tell you things that other people won't tell you, but you need to hear. Amen? I remember one time, there was someone and they had done something, and you know what? And it really wasn't the smartest thing to do. And you know what? And all of her friends were telling, oh, that's great, that's great, that's great, that's great. And she went up to Tamara and said, Tamara, what do you think? And Tamara said, That wasn't the best thing. You should do this. And that young lady knew that her friends were just telling her stuff. But my wife really loved her. And she said, no, I'm not saying this to hurt you, but this will be a help. Here's what I'd do. And she told her the truth. Can I tell you what? That's how Jesus loves you. So if you feel like, you know what, I don't want to come to Jesus because he's going to tell me, listen, you can keep on living your life. You can keep on doing what you want. You can keep on running around trying to chase your own tail. Amen. My dog's so funny. He runs around. He bites his own tail. He thinks, oh, I got it. You know what I mean? And then he gets it. And he's like, oh, who did I get? You know what I mean? We do the same thing, do we not? Run around just chasing our tail, thinking, you know what? Our neighbors, our friends. No, no. Can I tell you what? Jesus is the only one who's going to get us out of our mess. Amen. Amen. Did you learn something today? I'm glad you came today. We need to come to Jesus. Let me end with one more scripture. Jesus says this in John chapter 10. He says this. We'll close with this. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come after me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. You know what pasture is to a sheep? Pasture is everything. It's provision. It's comfort. It's life. It's life sustaining. Jesus says, if you come to me, I'm going to give you this pasture that you want because I'm a good shepherd. And you know what he says also? He will be saved. He will be saved. You know what that word saved is? Take a wild guess what the word saved is. That word saved is sozo. Okay. And you know what it means. It doesn't mean, see, we think, oh, I'm going to come to Jesus and I'm going to get born again. Yes, yes. If you're not in the family of God, come to Jesus today. But if you're in the family of God, come to Jesus and let him tell you what to do. Because when you come to Jesus, you're going to be saved. I'm already saved. No, no, you don't understand the word. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be set free. You're going to be told the truth. You're going to be told the truth that delivers you into what you need to do. You know why the apostles, you know why Peter said, God, you're the only one who has words of life. You know what that word meant? He says, you're the one who has the words of eternal life. You know what that word eternal life means? It means it can be translated eternal, forever, but it also can be translated living. In other words, Peter's saying, Jesus, you're the ones who makes us live. You're the ones. You know what these apostles saw? These apostles saw the woman. They saw the woman with the issue of blood come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, and they heard Jesus say, because they came to Jesus, they heard Jesus say, your faith has made them well. They saw, you know what they saw? They saw the man who couldn't see, and Jesus came to him and put mud on his eyes and then said to him, go wash yourself 7 times. They saw it.
He goes down, he washes himself according to what Jesus had told him to do, washed himself seven times, and the seventh time he got up seeing. They saw it. They saw the 12 leopards who come to him, and all of them have leprosy. It's a skin disorder where your skin is literally, your limbs are going to fall off your body. Totally disgusting. They see that, and Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they walked, they were healed. They saw the one leopard come back completely healed. They witnessed. Jesus said, tell these people to sit down in groups of hundreds and groups of 50. And they saw the bread and the fish. And they saw what little it was. And then Jesus broke it, passed it out to them. And they witnessed, watch this, being obedient of what God told them to do. They saw it multiply and multiply and multiply. And so in that context of seeing all that, they say to Jesus, where else would we go? You're the one who has all the answers. Can I tell you what? Can we be as smart as Peter today? Can we stop listening to our friends and our neighbors going on the internet? Can we come to Jesus and recognize that he has the answers to all our problems? Amen. Not just come to Jesus, but come to Jesus knowing, like the woman with the blood, issue of blood, all I have to do is touch, all I have to do is get a word from the Lord. I know he's got the answer. Could you come to church knowing that God could even use someone who graduated from Pioneer High School to minister to you? I'm just asking, amen? Is that possible? I say it is. I say it not only is. I say God is speaking to people. I'm not being manipulative. I'm telling you what I believe. And you don't have to believe me, but I believe God is speaking to some people. Some of them who aren't saved, you need to come in the family of God today. Some of you who are saved, but you're too busy listening to your friends to come to Jesus and do it his way. And he's bringing some correction today, saying, do it my way. Stop listening to your friends. Stop thinking you know more than I do. Because my ways are higher than your ways. Amen. Is God speaking to some people today? I'm asking. Raise your hand if he's speaking to you today. All over the room. Tamara?
There's a scripture in 1 John. It's 1 John 1:6. I'm going to read it slow, and then I'm going to read it a second time for you. I'm talking to those of us. He said, those who don't know Jesus come, those who know Jesus come. So here's the scripture. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth. I'm going to do it one more time. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth. It's interesting because, I don't know about you, but what I have found in calling myself a Christian, in being part of God's family, in asking Jesus to be my Lord, it's not the most comfortable road. Because to do things in the Spirit, many times that's opposite of what my flesh wants to do. And if you're not having that struggle where you're dealing with your flesh and telling your flesh, I know this is what you want to do, precious, but we're not going to do that because we're not in charge. Jesus is in charge. We're going to do it this way. Does that make sense? I do that all the time. And I literally don't look at my hand and talk to me, but, you know what I'm saying? But you all know what I'm talking about. Well, you know, you see the movies where you've got the little angel on this shoulder and then the little devil with a pitchfork on this shoulder, and that person is in this, you know, place where they're trying to figure it out. We have that all the time, that we're either going to do things, you know what, by our flesh, what we think, what we want, what we feel, or we're going to do things by the Spirit, which is what Jesus said. Period. See, that's supposed to settle it for us as believers, that we know what the standard is, and then we do what our Lord tells us to do, period. It's interesting because if you'll get, I think, some of the biggest areas where people like, and it's interesting because things will be going on, it's in our finances and in forgiveness. It's just huge. That we don't want to submit to what the Lord has said to do. We get into situations that require forgiveness. And I hear more believers justifying why. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm thinking to myself, wow, you don't understand. Do you know what the word says? You can't do that. I'll never forget with our finances. And again, this is just a weird thing. I tell people all the time, let me tell you something. Ask your, you know, you can say, well, if I, then I will. But believe me, if you can't tithe on a $10 bill, you're not going to tithe on $10,000. It's like people, they're looking for God to bless them, but then they do not show themselves as trustable to be blessed. I don't know what it is about a larger dollar amount, and I don't know why people look at it so quirky. So Pastor Drew and I don't know how many years ago, several years ago, we had, I wish he was here, he just went somewhere. Okay, I don't remember numbers, so if I'm off, don't worry about it, okay? He remembers all the numbers. So maybe we had $2,000, all right, give or take. And with that $2,000, we felt led by the Spirit to purchase some stock, and we did. We hadn't bought stock before. That was the first time we ever bought stock. And we bought it because we felt led to buy it. We sold it when we felt led to sell it. And there were plenty of opportunities in between to sell. It went it was crazy, up and down and all crazy. We had a friend who knew what was going on. He was there with us when we knew that was God, and he was walking through this whole thing. Do you remember Larry? Larry's walking the whole thing through. I thought Larry's going to have a heart attack because he don't understand, because it would go up $4, $5, $6. And he would call us up, and he was so excited for us. If you can't be excited for someone else getting blessed, check yourself. He was so excited for us. He was like, are you going to sell? Are you going to sell? And we would pray about it, and Pastor Drew and I would say, I don't think God's telling us to sell. Do you? Nope, I don't. Nope, not now. And we would tell Larry no, and Larry would be like, he was just, and then it would, that six that it went up, it not only went down that six, but it probably went down a couple more. It maybe went down eight. And Larry would be sad. You're like, oh my goodness. You know, you missed. And it's like, no, we didn't miss it, Larry. God didn't say to sell. I mean, we were just peaceful through this whole, I mean, so peaceful, you have no idea. Made no sense. If that had been us deciding to invest and do that, we probably would have been a wreck like Larry. But we knew it was God, and we knew what God was saying. So after the whole journey is all said and done, we made a lot of money. Because finally, when God said sell, it sold. I don't know how long we had that, 2 years, give or take. And when we sold, can I tell you something? I could not run to the house of God fast enough with what God had increased us. People will look. Do you remember what the tithe was on that?
Yeah, I know exactly what it was.
Is that a secret?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money. Okay.
L-
let me just say this. Please understand, I'm not trying to be manipulative. You do whatever you want with your money. But I'm telling you, guys, the tithe will bless, the 10% will bless the 90. Amen. If you get it out of your hands. I'm saying this to bless you. You keep that 10% and it will curse the other. But you'll look and you'll go, what happened to them? The best thing we did, Pastor George knows, the best thing we did was get rid of it. What a blessing to be able to write a check for a big amount. You know what I mean? And how ridiculous it is. I'm telling you, the tithe will bless that money. And you think, oh, no, that's not my money because I didn't earn it. Or somebody, listen, all of it is part of what comes in. And God, we do all kinds of gymnastics. You know what do they call that? Mental gymnastics on how to make it where I don't have to tithe. Oh, my, shame on us. Amen. I'm serious. Shame on us. You ought to be so quick to get rid of it. What a blessing it was to write that check. You know what I mean? And people, if you feel the righteous indignation, it's not a indignation against you. It's a crying out to you and say, you know what? Listen, if God blesses you with a big amount, get rid of the tithe quickly before that 90% is all sucked away. And you don't even have an opportunity to do what you should. And you know what? God will bless the 90. I mean, you know that house? You know what? Don't look at my house and go, ooh, why you got such a... I'll tell you why I got such a nice house. I'm just testifying for somebody. I got such a nice house because I'm a giver. Amen? Because God, the Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the fat of the land. That's why I live. And come over to my house and enjoy my house. Because you know what? We are good stewards and we share all kinds of things with all kinds of people. But you'll be blessed. And I'll say, you know what? To God be the glory. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you something else. God is not a respecter of persons. God didn't love me more than he loves you. You're going to walk in the blessings of God. But it's funny. You start talking about finances. People get all in your face. They start acting nasty. Amen? And we ought to be. You know what? We are the richest people in the whole world. And you know what? For us to be spending every single penny on ourselves is disgusting. It's disgusting. And you know what? And I already told my story. 24-year-old, selfish little, you know what? And going to church, hallelujah, praise, on the worship team. Amen? And God directed me and said, you know what you are? You're stingy. You're selfish. No, I praise God. Amen? I look forward to other opportunities where God is just going to bless me. God is blessing me all the time. Amen? Amen? But let me tell you why. It's not coincidental. It's because I bring the first fruits in. You know what? I know the 10 is going to either, it's going to do, listen, that 10% is God's. Whether you believe it or not, that 10% is God's. It's going to do two things. It's either going to bless the 90 or it's going to curse the 90. And I'm here to tell you, you know what? You be faithful. And don't think you're going to cheat God. Don't think some money is going to come in this other source like he don't know about. And you're going to have a little extra.
Hey, that's all free. That's all free. Because I love it. That's free.
I just wanted the dollar amount, man. Now you got me all messed up here. I think what I was talking about in just obeying God, that we walk in the truth. And I'll hear people, they'll say, when it comes to forgiveness, they don't want to forgive. They say, but you don't understand. No, believe me, I've had some knives in my back larger than some of the ones that other people have had. You know what? Still didn't change God's word. Still didn't change God's word. A good thing for you to know about forgiveness is about you, not the other person. God is trying to protect you. When people don't walk in forgiveness, they get really messed up. Do you know that? Bitterness and anger will just mess you up. And God knows that. Nobody can mess you up like that but you. You give that power to other people. You say, oh, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you. It's what he did to me. It's what she did to me. We give him like that power. No, 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 no. You gave him that power. Because you know what the truth is? You're messing you up. because you won't just let Jesus be Lord in that area of your life and give up that forgiveness for you. That's a very helpful thing. Can I help someone in the room today? If you understand it's not about the other person, that it's about you, it makes forgiveness a lot easier. And Jesus makes it so clear because he says, as you measure it out to other people, that's how I'm going to measure it out to you. So when I look at my relationship with God, I want God to be just super merciful with me. I want him to give me a lot of chances. I want him to keep on loving me even though I failed again. That's what I want from him. So you know what that means? That means I have to measure it out that way if I want to get it back that way. Measure it out. Amen. And then with the finances, people say, yeah, Pastor John, blah, 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 blah. You know what? But that's a lot of money. I said, I know. I've been in that boat. You know what I mean? It's fun to bring it to God. I'm telling you that we were blessed. But here's what I looked at it, because when I wrote that big check too, I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. But you know what? Because I believe the enemy just plants that to each one of us. But I looked at the 90% and I said, but that's a lot more. And I didn't have that. I had $2,000. Do you understand that? Don't let the enemy play tricks on you. You know what? God's word is true, period. Amen. Whether that's your finances, your forgiveness, your joy, all of it. You know what? We just need to walk in the truth. Come to Jesus. He's full of answers to every single situation that we face. And he knew you were going to face it before you ever faced it. And the answer's already there. And we just need to see what the answer is. And no matter how uncomfortable it makes us, just do it. Just say, okay, Jesus, you're in charge. That's what Lord means, that you are the one who directs my life, the director of my life. Will you let him be the director of your life? Or are you the director of your life? He's either Lord or he's not. And the decision is yours. He's your director if you submit to him to be that director. Amen? Amen. You gonna close?
If you want to come into the family of God and you haven't made Jesus your Lord, you know that God loves you, but you haven't asked him into your heart, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, we're just going to sing a simple prayer. We're just going to say a simple prayer, and just repeat this after me, and Jesus is going to come in your heart. Say this with me. Jesus, I want you to come in my heart. I want you to bless me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I give up. You're in charge. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we believe if you did that, that Jesus came in your heart. We ask you to find a good Bible-believing church, possibly this church. Start to come Sunday and Wednesdays, and let Tamara and I just start to teach you line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. And watch what will happen in a short period of time as you start to allow God to change your life from the inside out. One more thing I want to pray. Some of you, you're already saved, but you need to come to Jesus. You need to recognize he's got the answers. I've been speaking to you. I didn't know it was you, but God is speaking to you. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you right now. Yes. Who is that? All over the room. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for raising your hands. Father, you see these hands up? I pray for these people that they're coming to Jesus by having their hand up. That's what they're doing. They're saying, Jesus, I don't know the answer. I need help. But I come to you to give me the answer. I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.